Hey, welcome to Thrive Community Church. Man, wasn't worship great this morning? Isn't it great to just worship our God? My goodness. Hot? Okay. Hey, I'm excited about this Sunday. One, it's great to be up here with you, serving you in this capacity again. And in our 21 days of prayer and talking about revivals in the air, I love it. I love the heart of it. You notice we're wearing these revival shirts. We've been praying for revival and praying for your revival, but praying for our own revival as well, each and every one of us, because it all starts with the individual person before it goes outward. And so it starts with the cup being full of the one before there's an overflow. And boy, we want an overflow for sure. We want other people to benefit from our breakthroughs, and that's the heart of all of this. As the heart of every bit of it. So we're talking about revivals in the air. Yeah, by the way, you're going to need one of these by the end of service, 21 days of prayer card. If you don't have one, if you'll raise your hand, we have some people that will actually, there you go, we got a few people. I'm going to put Cassandra to work back there. Cassandra, can you pass out some 21 days of prayer cards? Just, I'm coming to be a guest here. No, Allie will get it. You just enjoy your time, girl. We're so happy to. This is a daughter of the house. She's visiting us again. So I just love to worship with Cassandra, and Yvette is here too. She's a mama of the house, and so we're glad to have them here. Hey, so we're talking about revival, and we're hoping this works. Revival's in the air has been the topic, and today is the topic of this series. This message is revival comes from me. Revival comes from me, it comes from you, it comes from each and every individual. We're in this season where we had spring, it's a new year, yay, it's 2025, summer has come, kids got out of school, and moms and dads are pulling their hair out. They're tired of their kids being at home. Schedules don't exist. The only thing on the schedule is chaos, and we're at the point in the year, every year it's like this, if you're a parent, where it's like, I am about to break. I'm so stressed out. I'm so tapped out. I love my kids. I'm just so tired of the chaos of life. And these kids need to go back to school for the love of Jesus before I lose my mind. We're at that fork in the road where it's either I'm going to break and my life is going to break, or I'm going to choose differently and I'm going to have a breakthrough. And for most of us, we've made decisions throughout our lives getting to forks in the road of our journey, and we have chose. Our nervous system has been trained to just go towards break. And we break. We quit. We give up. We pull back. Whatever it is that we feel like is the last straw or causing this pain in our lives that we are not so enjoying, we pull away from. We break. I quit. But you're in that moment. When we're in that moment, it's a choice to let our nervous system lead our decisions, which is our old patterns and our old ways, or it's a choice to pursue God in the breakthrough with humility, surrender, and yielding. So we'll either at the fork in the road of our lives, because this is where we all are, because we're all sitting here today, this day of August, and we're all in the same season, and we're all in the same time of the year, of the month, and we all have unique things that have gone on through summer and into this point where fall's coming. Finally, kids are back into school. Finally, the rhythms of the world, the local world, are even changing. And so we'll either do what we've always done and break, or we'll choose to have breakthrough and we'll do things that we've never done before. So we get to a choice. Will I do what I've always done and my life continue to look like it always has, or will I do something that I've never done before and experience something or life in a way I've never experienced it before? These are always the decisions when we come to boundaries in our lives, when we come to moments, stressors, times of exhaustion, times of I'm giving up, I'm a breaking, and you're at that split moment, I'm breaking or I'm breaking through, which is it? And many of us have never been taught to break through in the moment we were wanting to break. And this is where God steps in, Jesus steps into our lives, and the Holy Spirit empowers us if we're willing to commune and yield with Him. And this is the difference between breaking and having a breakthrough. It's the essence of revival. Because when I choose break, I quench what God was on the brink of about to do in my life. But when I choose humility and obedience and honor and yielding to His ways, He does something supernatural that causes a breakthrough, a revival in my life that I once thought was just for me. But when I experience it, I start to have a different reality on life. So this is why revival comes from me, but it also has to start in me. Carrying my personal breakthrough for someone else's revival is what I come to learn. You see, when you're on this side of breakthrough and you're needing the breakthrough, and when 21 days of prayer, we're praying for breakthrough every day. If you've clicked on the link or followed the QR code, you get to see my beautiful face and giving you a devotional, and you have these devotionals to follow along with. If you need me to do one for 365 days of the year, I don't mind. I'll do it. We'll send you one every day. Breakthrough. It's what we're praying for. Jake's like, Lord, please no. Please no. On this side of breakthrough, you think, I'm just needing a breakthrough because my life is broken and I'm tired of breaking, so Lord, do something, you're gonna have to move. Then, once you pursue that route and thank God He does something because that's who He is present, He's a provider, and He's your protector, and He shows up when we allow room for Him to show up, and then He allows this breakthrough. We experience breakthrough, and in the breakthrough, your mind is rerouted, the way you think has changed, and now you realize, wait a minute, that wasn't for me. That was for the people around me. That was just as much for the people in my life as it was for me. You see, revelation and experience and breakthrough with God starts to cause you to have and capture a heart for the lives of others who also need their breakthrough. This is the heart of God. My breakthrough is now become for your benefit. So in the same way I need you to have your breakthrough, you need me to have my breakthrough. And this is how revivals begin. And what God does in you isn't meant to stop with you. And your breakthrough isn't your finish line. Your breakthrough is someone else's starting line. John 8:12, Jesus tells us this. He spoke to them again, to the disciples, to the people. He says, saying, I am the light of the world. I'm the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Matthew 5:14 and 16, also later in John, Jesus changes things a little bit. Because at first he says, I'm the light of the world, and if you follow me, you don't walk in darkness. You have the light of life. Meaning, if we follow Jesus, then our lives should illuminate the life of Jesus, because He is life. And then later, he says this, and it's captured in Matthew as well, you are the light of the world. Wait a minute, Jesus, I thought, you were the light of the world, Jesus. He said, no, but because we've been together, you've caught fire, and now you are the light of the world. So Jesus shows up, he's like, I'm the light of the world. And we spend time with him, and all of a sudden, through the time spent, breakthrough, personal revival, all of a sudden, he says, you're the light of the world. You're lit up. Illuminate. Don't walk in darkness anymore. He says, a city, you're a light of the world, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. You can't hide that. Your life has been changed. Your breakthrough has change the way you see, the way you look, the way you talk, the way you behave, the way you treat people. Your breakthrough has transformed you. Let it shine. Let it be. He says, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket. You're not going to hide that thing. You know the song, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. I know you want to sing it. It's so simple, it's so childlike, but we complicate it as adults. You know, it's almost as adults we have to unlearn more than we need to learn about Jesus. If we just start the process of unlearning how to be an adult, then we become more childlike, and becoming Christ-like is a lot more easy. So you're the light of the world. Now, I'm the light of the world. We don't put it under a basket. We put it on a lampstand so people can see it, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Now, all of a sudden, I start to give light to others just because I'm walking in the light. I'm showing what Jesus has done in my life because it really took transformation, heart transformation in my own life. He says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So when I've truly been spending time with the Lord, my life starts to naturally illuminate by the transformation that has taken place in my heart, and my head is starting to align with everything that's taken place in my heart. And by nature, people start to see something that is countercultural and different than the rest of the world, and they become curious, and they draw towards the light like a mosquito to a, you know. And then all of a sudden, they want what it is that you have that they can't quite understand. And before they know it, they've caught it. And you didn't have to do anything but exhibit the transformation that has taken place in your life, in your private moments of choosing breakthrough and yieldedness rather than breaking and quitting. Whoa. Wow. There's more to that coming through my head. But now I don't even have to do anything except for walk out the transformation by nature that has happened by me choosing to pursue Him. And so I start to identify, show good works. I start to glorify my Father in heaven. How? I just simply give testimony. Or my good works, my light shining is serving others. So by nature, I start to serve others and just give testimony. Because as Ali was saying earlier, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Meaning, when I just share what God has done in my life, it starts to impart something supernatural into the lives of others, into the lives of those who are in the room and around the room. It starts to give light to all who are in the house. It starts to bring transformation. And some of you are like, well, I don't know if I can do that. I don't have the ministry. It's okay. You can go forward. I don't know what I have to offer. Well, let me tell you, according to 2 Corinthians 1, 3, and 4, we all are already equipped and already have what we need. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulations. So when we're at the brink and I want to break, because normally that's what I've always seen my family generations do, is just quit or break or go to the next fix or whatever it is. When I say I'm not going to allow that anymore and I pursue breakthrough through yieldedness, through humility, through obedience, through whatever it is that God is leaning and His word says, all of a sudden in my tribulation, all of a sudden God shows up and says, if you're going to choose my route, let's go. We can do some things, experience transformation. This is good news. That we may be able, this is why He does it, Because all of a sudden you realize my breakthrough is not just for me. And you're so excited about your breakthrough, you can't help but go and share what God has now done in your life, the things he's now showing you, that we may, now that we've been comforted from our tribulation, may comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which ourselves are comforted by God. So now we're starting little fires. So now I've been comforted by God in my private time and seeking him and seeking breakthrough and praying for breakthrough. And me just having nearness with someone who became curious about what's going on in my life, it started catching fire. And now I'm able to comfort someone with the same comfort that I found in my quiet place. And now this person who had tribulation and troubles, now they're being comforted just by my testimony and the revival that has started in my own heart. And God is doing it all. So I realized my breakthrough was never just for me. So if revival is actually going to start, it's every individual's responsibility to start the fire. It's your responsibility as much as it is my responsibility. And it doesn't just automatically happen in corporate places. It has to happen in private places. And what happens in private places, because it becomes so real and so natural, can't help but become an overflow into the corporate places. And so my breakthrough was never for me. Every victory you have is proof that God still moves. So the moment you have your victory, it starts to prove to others around you, whoa, if that happened to them, God must be moving. And the more you start to share it, whoa, God must be moving. You're starting to spread little fires everywhere that you go by simply serving others, sharing your testimony, allowing people to know what God has done in your own life. Psalmist in 40 said this, it said, I waited patiently for the Lord. You know, instead of getting anxious and trying to handle things his own way and breaking and giving up and quitting, he says, I'm going after breakthrough and I'm waiting patiently. That's hard, isn't it? In this fast-paced world and the demands and the pressures and everything that we have to perform. We have to have an answer right now. We have to have. But God's way is waiting patiently. I've waited patiently for the Lord, and God inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock. It's funny how when he chose breakthrough and chose God's way, God began to elevate him and lift him up. And he says, out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock. You ever feel like life's just slippery? Like every footstep, every direction you try to make, it's just slippery. There's nothing structural. There's no foundation. There's nothing solid. I feel like I'm just slipping around through life, mistake after mistake. But there's something about God's way in pursuing breakthrough and personal revival with God that causes him to pick you up and all of a sudden start to guide your decision making, because no longer will you listen to your old way of doing things. Now you're surrendered and yielded to the way of his spirit and his word. Now he can form and shape and guide your steps and your decisions so that he can actually cause you to start walking on a firm foundation, and then he starts to establish your steps in the blessed direction. This is what he does when we choose breakthrough instead of breaking. This is good news. And so he continues, he says, he has put a new song in my mouth. Then all of a sudden, guys, I got to tell you what God did in my life. Man, I was right here, and it would look like it was going to turn out this way. But then all of a sudden, in my prayer time, God gave me, he spoke to me. He started lifting me up. He actually encouraged me through my process, through whatever was going on. And then all of a sudden, the new song that you're singing is no longer, I'm quitting, I'm done, I'm tapped out. It's a revelation and transformation. You can't believe what God did. He showed up in an amazing way. That's revival. That's personal revival. Starting a fire inside. It's choosing God's way over our own ways. That's how we get revelation. He put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our Father, our God. Many will see it and fear. Look at the benefit of you pursuing your breakthrough. Now many see it and now they will start to trust the Lord. Whoa, I didn't even intend that. I was going after my own breakthrough. I was tired of the cycles of my own life. But me just following the Lord and being obedient caused a revival in the lives of others. Wasn't my intention. Great. Then it wasn't performance. It was probably unpolished. Great. It was very organic. Great, it was very natural. Great, it was very relational. Great, it was very communal. Great, it will now become corporate. Carrying your breakthrough requires intentional sharing. So I need to talk about it. I need to share. I need to find myself talking with people, with others. I need to share the victory. I need to share with others what God is doing. It's not for me. My breakthrough is not to hide. It's to reveal, revive someone else's life with my story. Every victory you have is a testimony of Jesus for you to give to others. Hey, let me tell you what Jesus did in my life. Remember the comfort in others and the same comfort in which, with the same comfort in which you've been comforted? Hey, man, I know you're going through it. Let me tell you what Jesus did in my life when I was going through that. So easy, so organic, so natural, so relational. Breakthrough creates boldness. It creates boldness. Acts 4:20, he says this, "For we cannot but speak." When God has done something in your life, you can feel this. Like, man, the transformation, I was in drought. I needed something to happen. I needed God to move. And you know the times when you've allowed this and you've pursued this and you've sought this and God has done this. And if you haven't experienced that, he wants to do this. And I'm trying to tell you how to get to this. And I'm hoping that you'll find this. This is one of those moments where you start to get to the point. I can't help but to talk about it. I'm sorry you don't want to hear my story, but I'm going to tell you anyway because this is what God has done in my life. So you can walk on or you can sit down, but I'm telling my story. You don't like the way he did it in my life? I don't care. This is what he did. You mean you had God in the box and he can only do it this way? I'm sorry. He did it outside of your box. You have to share. I can't help but to see and talk about the things that we've seen and heard. This is those moments where I've heard about it. I've heard the pastor. I've heard my grandma talk about it for all my life. I've heard my mama wear me down with it, but I actually pursued the Lord with it. And not only have I heard it, I've actually experienced it. Amen. And when you experience something that you once heard or you hear and you experience, all of a sudden it changes the way you think. And now your logic is very illogical to a cultural world. Yeah. And now you're a little bit strange and peculiar, just like Scripture said we would be. And now you start to see things in a unique way that others who are going through or will go through the things and have not been through and have not experienced what you've experienced, you'll start to be weird and strange to them. But here's ultimately what's going to happen. They're going to go through it, and they're going to need you to light the torch and follow, lead the way. Here's how you go down this dark alley. Here's how you handle this dark tunnel. Here's how you get through it to the other side. They're not going to understand it. That's why God gave it to you.
That's right. Man, that's a good word.
But he gave it to you to pass along, to lead along, to show along, to tell along. Because in their fear and trembling, if they're willing to seek breakthrough and follow you rather than being broken, they'll, with fear and trembling, follow you as you are following the Lord. Woo. They're holding on to your belt. I don't know what else is going to happen, but I know it's kind of hurts. Oh, I'm going to get dirty. Yeah. It's a struggle. Why? Because things are getting stripped off of you that you've been so comfortable with, that you've known to become just normal, to be normal, and it's completely abnormal to those who walk with Christ. That's why he said those who walk with him will not walk in darkness, but they will walk with light. The light comes with a price. Revival flows through availability, not perfection. Again, he doesn't need polish. He needs somebody who is available. He needs somebody who will just be present and be aware of when and what he wants to move. And Isaiah says it this way, here I am, send me. He doesn't need your theology. He doesn't need to know what seminary you came from and went to or are going to. He doesn't need to know your biblical education. He doesn't need to know any of that. He needs to know, do you have a heart that carries this attitude that says, here I am, Lord, send me. I love that the scripture identifies the disciples. He says they knew that these are unlearned men, but they had spent time with Jesus. Guess who he wants to use? People who will spend time with himself. You don't need a degree to follow Jesus. Doesn't hurt to know more about scripture. But he's not looking for polish. He's looking for available. Revival. So your breakthrough can spark a chain reaction. All of a sudden, your time with Jesus turns into little fires all over the county, all over the place, all over the room. And now, before you know it, there's a wildfire all around you. And you've become a spiritual arsonist. And guess what? Nobody's coming to arrest you. Acts 16, 25 and 26 says this, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. The prisoners, they were praying and singing hymns to God. The prisoners were sitting there listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately, all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. Let me give you some spiritual understanding, because you may not find yourself in prison singing prayers and hymns. You might, but it may be that the people around you during times of worship, as you're praying and you're worshiping your God, thankful and grateful for all that he's done in your life and your family's life, and you're pursuing him for breakthrough through the worship and through the prayer, times of prayer, it may be that someone around you is in this very prison that you're in the presence of. And it may be because you're worshiping your God and you're praying and praising him that some non-believer or unbeliever or short-term believer or whatever type of believer, non-believer, is in your presence, is in this house, because now you're worshiping and you're praising God and they're seeing and they're having an impartation and they're encouraged, and all of a sudden your freedom and your worship and your praying and your coming up for prayer all of a sudden does something. It starts to shake the earth in this room or in their heart, in their life, the foundations of their soul, and all of a sudden the chains, the bondage starts to fall off of them and they become free because of your worship and your prayers. Amen. I'm about to, I hope it, amen after this. My question is now, I'm not trying to be offensive, but do you show up in time coming in ready to worship the God who's done all these things for you? Or do you show up at the end of worship or in the middle of worship? Yeah, okay, there's one. Because what if it's somebody else's breakthrough that you come in to worship and you're coming forward for prayer? Because I can tell you, the little church, Pentecostal church I grew up in, I can still hear my grandmother, Willie Jean, singing those songs, "When We All Get to Heaven, What a Day of Rejoicing It Will Be." I can still hear Miss Nadine singing. I can still hear the voice of Miss Billie Jean, all the Deans, Glenn Deans. I can still hear my grandfather's raspy little oil-filled voice singing those songs. I didn't know Jesus, but it does something in my soul to hear them singing praises and singing hymns and praying to this God that they had so much faith in. And it was that foundation that I needed later when my rocky foundation and all my slippery ground was not equating to anything but breaking. Could it be that your worship and your prayer actually leads to someone else's breakthrough and revival? According to Scripture, I'm going to say yes. So how do we walk this thing out? You know what? Spending time in the morning just writing down. You got to start journaling. Lord, what's on your heart? What's on your heart, Lord? Lord, what are you saying to me today? Just start spending time with him. Look for the one. As you go out from that moment, God's already positioned your mind. He's speaking to your heart. He's guiding your soul. You're pursuing breakthrough, so you're being very aware of his presence in all things, taking that into your daily routine, your daily walk, looking for the one. It only requires the one. Don't worry about the masses. It doesn't require some great pastor who can lead 10,000 into a revival. It just requires one who's in front of you that day. Look for the one. Step into conversations. Don't lean back. You know, there's a moment you can feel the moment. There's this little warm fuzzy starts to happen, and you're like, there's a Jesus moment right here. I can step into it. Don't step back. Step into it. I was in China this past couple of weeks, and I had the opportunity to spend time with the Chinaman for about 10, 11 days, always having little conversations throughout the day. And on Sunday, we got to watch you guys here. Pastor Marcus was here talking about revival. And me and my friend Billy's, we were sitting there watching YouTube and watching the service live. And we're talking about worship. He goes, oh, wow, look at your wife. She's so passionate. She leads worship every Sunday. I said, well, some Sundays. He goes, are all churches like this? I said, no, there's different styles of worship. He goes, wow, she's very confident. I said, yeah, she's pretty confident. She goes, how do they pay for all that? I said, well, that's another story. But I said, hey, it's a word, tithes. In Cantonese, he looked it over in Cantonese, and he goes, okay. I said, we'll talk about that later. We talked about Sabbath. Very curious. He became very curious in our conversations. You know, I didn't have to mention Jesus one time for him to start to discovering that I'm a follower of Jesus. All I got to do is talk about his ways, talk about his light, talk about what he's done in my life, talk about the transformation that has taken place in my life. They become curious. They want to know, what is it different about your life that's different about my life? Well, that's a simple. Stay full. Stay full. John 15 tells us, Jesus says to stay connected, be connected to the vine. Jesus emphasizes there's a lot of people who are near the vine. Let me break this down. There's a lot of people who are in church, but they don't know Jesus. There's an emphasis on those who know Jesus because they are actually showing by their good works and glorifying the Father. And he says, hey, there's many that are going to be around the vine, but he's saying stay connected to the vine. And then bless boldly, Billy, my friend Billy, by the end of the week, he's sitting there, we're testing some sound, some Bluetooth little speakers, and I'm playing worship music in these big marketplaces. They don't know it's worship music. I know it's worship music, and the spirits in the realm know it's worship music. And he gets a mic, this little Bluetooth mic, and he goes, attention, 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 everybody. I want to welcome to you, my friend from America, Nathan Eddington. And we're playing around because he's watched now on church or on YouTube, and he's kind of getting it. And so I just blessed everybody, get on the mic, and we're playing around, just blessing everybody. You see, they got blessed boldly. They don't know what's happening completely. But I tell you what, the spirits in the room know exactly what's going on. And it creates a curiosity. What's different about these peculiar people? So I want to lead you. I want to take a moment to lead you. Remember I said this 21 days of prayer, this card right here. And you have your communion cup, I hope. I want to take communion with you a little bit differently. On this 21 days of prayer card, if you don't have one, raise your hand. Somebody will bring you one. You can write your name or don't write your name. But what we're trying to get to, I want to ask that you leave this behind when you're done. Put it in the little clear box that's in the back. But I want you to write two things on there, number one and number two. And in short form, on number one, I'm going to ask that you right? Here's what I need a breakthrough. Here's the breakthrough I need. Short form, 2, 3, 4 words max. Number one, here's what I need. Here's the breakthrough I need. And it's you and the Lord. We're writing it down. It's you and the Lord. Lord, maybe you need to ask, Lord, what breakthrough do I need? Because like Pastor Marcus said a few weeks ago, if he hasn't corrected you on something, you might want to check to see if you're listening. And then the second thing I want you to write, what has to be true for me to experience breakthrough? What has to be true? Well, for me to experience breakthrough, then X, Y, Z. Okay, write it down. Because here's what we would like for it to do. We'd like to pray for that breakthrough. And we would like to pray for the thing that needs to happen for you to have that breakthrough. So take a moment. I'm gonna play a little bit of background music. I'm gonna ask the worship team taking communion. They've already taken communion. But like we said in the beginning, summer has a lot of stressors to it. Like this time of year is stressful. And maybe you started thinking some things and doing some things and acting upon some things that, man, you don't wanna carry into the next season of this year. And maybe it's a time to start settling that with the Lord so that you can prepare and position yourself to receive that breakthrough. And this is what communion is all about, because we're communing with God. And the part of communing with God is getting our hearts repositioned. You see, God's in a good mood over you all the time. He loves the hell out of you. But we also need to understand that and get a grasp of that. Sometimes all we can think about is our sin, what we've done wrong, what we said wrong last week, 2 weeks ago in July when we were at the beach, whatever it is. But it's a time to come back to God and say, you know what? Mm-mm. That ain't working. I need a breakthrough. So whatever that is, write it down. And then whatever needs to be true for you to have breakthrough, write it down. Let a community of people pray over them. When you're ready, I'm going to ask you to grab this representation of Jesus' body on the cross that came out of the top of your little communion cup. Just grab the bread. Because his body was broken for this very thing, for us to have communion, have community, to have breakthrough. So when you're ready, you can take of the bread in gratitude for what he's done. Then if you'll open the little purple top there, the foil lid to the juice. I know this is a completely different version of communion than you've ever done. But we're getting our hearts back right. We're reassessing and getting into alignment, not because he's changed, but because our hearts have become a little bit polluted. So he cleanses us, he cleans us, and this is the very thing. It's the blood of Jesus that washes us white as snow, according to Scripture. And he wants to speak to you. He wants to do life with you. He wants to lead you through the breakthrough. He's tired of you breaking. He doesn't want you to break. He wants you to find experience and revelation. He wants you to know him, to experience him. He wants your light to shine before men and your good works to be an illumination of that very thing, because he wants to see you glorifying his name so he can begin to bless your name. So let's, in gratitude, thank God and take of this cup that represents his blood, and just imagine it cleaning your mind and your heart and your soul from anything that you're burdening yourself with. Come on, let's take it together. So Jesus, we love you, we thank you, and literally as Scripture says, we declare your return through communion with you. We ask for a personal breakthrough
We ask for revival, and we ask that you do the work in our hearts first, in Jesus' mighty name. Can I get a good amen, somebody?
Amen.